Saul?
Flesh.
Jonathan?
Soul.
What is David?
Spirit.
All right. Saul is your flesh. Jonathan is your soul. David is your spirit. Let me say something I've been hearing for a little while now. And this is before the message. If you submit your will to God, the devil can't have your ways. Oh, that's y'all gotta learn when to shout. If I submit my will to God, the devil can't have my ways in the world. Oh, y'all not catching it. Y'all not catching it. So many times we struggle with our ways without the submission of our will. When you submit your will to God, your ways, with an S, will reflect the will that's submitted unto God. The devil will try to influence your way every now and then. You may have one or two ways that look a little shady, a little suspect. But your ways in the earth, the devil cannot have. He can't have the result of something submitted to God. Oh, man, I don't know what to shout. He can't have the ways of the will that's submitted to God.
Amen.
It's important that you catch little tidbits like that. So I wanted to share it with y'all. Try to help loosen y'all up, because y'all just really stiff this morning. Really like, oh boy. Now, y'all ready to get into the word?
Amen.
Don't rush me, y'all. Ain't said that. Did y'all hear those amens? Like, come on, stop talking. Glory. I cannot believe y'all rushed me. Now my feelings are hurt. I'm sensitive. I was trying to give y'all the tidbit that I got, and y'all rushing me. Y'all got somewhere to go. We ain't gonna be that much longer. Y'all wouldn't even be done with praise and worship. Y'all wouldn't even be done with the invocation in some place. We on our way to the word. Glory. All right. It's just a wonderful time. So here we are in Samuel, and we see Saul. Saul represents what?
Flesh.
Saul is talking to his son Jonathan. Jonathan represents what?
Soul.
About David, and David represents what?
Spirit.
So this is the scenario that we're at. Okay? All right. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 20. Verse 30. It says, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, thou son of the perverse and rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse, that's David, to thy own confusion and to the confusion of thy mother's nakedness. What the flesh tries to do is bring confusion in your life when you choose to live by the spirit and not the flesh. Saul is talking to his son. Saul is your flesh talking to your soul, bringing confusion, like, what's going on? You're trying to live for the spirit, but here I am, the flesh, asking you to live for me.
Yes.
It's the state of Christianity, which we understand being a state of schizophrenia.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, one of the things that we miss so much is the struggle that Paul had, though he wrote so much of the New Testament, his struggle of, what did he say, that which I know to do good, I don't do, and that which I know not to do, that's the stuff I do. That don't sound like a man that wrote the whole New Testament. And this is what God gave us as an example of, you can still get it right, but it's that confusion. And that's what the flesh tries to bring onto the soul. Your soul, mind, will, intellect, imaginations, emotions.
Right.
Your soul is looking to follow something.
Right.
So when you try to turn your soul to do spiritual things, your flesh starts to speak confusion in your life.
Yes.
You really want to do this?
Right.
You don't even feel like forgiving them.
Right.
It's that confusion.
Yes.
You sitting up there like, I'm trying to forgive, but your flesh tells you, we don't feel like forgiving. Now you're confused.
Right.
See, what the flesh does is the confusion that's among us. And I want you to catch what he said after the son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen. Your flesh is aware of when you're trying to do spiritual stuff.
Amen. Amen.
Oh. Be single and saved. Be single and saved, which I think is the hardest walk among Christians. That's just my personal opinion, is to be single and saved. Because there's the most temptation in singleness and saved.
Yes.
And it is very difficult. And your flesh knows you're trying to choose to keep yourself. All right, I'll leave y'all alone. Y'all, we all married and sanctified and forgot the people that's single and saved. All right, go to verse 31. I ain't going to be long, but we're going to get something that's going to change our lives. For as long, in verse 31, Samuel chapter 20, verse 30, for as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore, now send him unto me, so I can heal him. What your flesh tries to tell your soul is you won't be established. Being established is what you want to be.
Yes.
A lot of us want to be and want it to be a lot of stuff other than what God called us to be. Okay, maybe that's just me. I wanted to be doing other stuff than what I'm what I'm called to do right now. So what your flesh is saying, as long as the spirit in you lives, you can't be established nor your kingdom. The established is what you want to be, and the kingdom is what you want to do. Oh, y'all missing that. What we want to be with our lives, and then your kingdom is what you want to do. The imprint of your life on the world. So many of us want to do a lot of stuff that don't have nothing to do with your calling or glorifying God.
Amen.
And we too sanctified to say, even as a saved Christian, there's stuff I want to do. I don't even know if God's hand is on it for me to do it, but I want to do it because I want to establish myself.
Yeah.
That's why you see 65-year-old men that finally get some money, and you see them in a car with some 30-inch rims on it with some signage. Because he so much wanted to put his imprint in the world that finally he said, now I can do what I wanted to do in the world. And you're looking at them and you say, that's not even what's on your life. So most of us Christians still want to do stuff, and this is what we do. We do it anyway, and then we ask God to show up in it and bless it. Your flesh warning to your soul is, as long as you follow the Spirit, you can never be what you wanted to be, and you'll never be able to do what you wanted to do. And it sounds so easy to fight that stuff, but it's not. Because so many of us want to be something that God has not called us to be.
Amen.
And we want to do stuff God has not called us to do. So we struggle with listening to the flesh like, yeah, as long as I'm forgiving and loving, I can't be this strong, independent person.
Right.
Oh, y'all missing good stuff. Y'all missing good stuff. All right, let's go on. Verse 32, and Jonathan answered Saul, his father, and said unto him, before I finish reading, the second part of verse 31, Saul said, bring David, the spirit, unto me. He said, bring him unto me so I can kill him. Your flesh can't kill your spirit.
Amen.
You know, incorruptible spirit can't kill your spirit. But what it does and what it has given permission to do is to kill the destiny and purpose that's birthed through your spirit. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They couldn't kill the fact that they were the first. The flesh couldn't kill the fact that they were, that the world was going to be populated by them. Couldn't kill none of that, but it killed the fact that they didn't have to labor.
That's right.
They didn't have to work. That wasn't the purpose and the destiny for their life. And I want you to catch what happened in the garden. That is a consequence that God never restored. There are stuff that will happen in your life that if you give into the flesh, you will suffer a consequence that God may not restore unto you. And there's nothing like begging God to restore something you messed up.
Yes.
Lord, I understand the consequences. Just don't let them last forever.
Yes, yes.
But we see the fall of man lasted to us. That's why most of us, when we get to heaven, we want to talk with Adam. Now let's sit down, and I can see a whole bunch of Christians trying to get Adam in the corner just to holler at him and talk to on, man. Do you see what we went through because of that? All right, verse 32. I haven't had to say that. That's fine. And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What has he done? Verse 33. And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David.
Yes.
It's not until your flesh throws a javelin at your soul. It's not until your flesh causes consequences for your soul. And for us great men and women of God, it's not until your flesh exposes your soul that we start to sit back and realize its killing potential. We underestimate the killing potential of our flesh. When the flesh does something that your soul starts to suffer some consequences from, and you realize, I didn't get that right for the past 3 years, and now I'm seeing the results of not getting that right, then you start to have an understanding, I think my flesh has the ability to kill some stuff in me, Jesus. To kill some destiny and some purpose that's, right. that's trying to come from me. Yeah. Oh, Lord. I don't want to. See, what's hard about being a pastor or pastors is sometimes you hear analogies, but you know it'll hurt people's feelings. And so you have to make sure you don't say certain stuff because you lose people. So some analogies I hear, I can't say out loud because that might really offend people. So if you see me when I'm thinking like, Lord, give me something else. And sometimes he say no, so I say, okay, we're going to have to agree to disagree. And I get whooped later for y'all. I'm serious. That's what I was thinking. But most great men and women of God, I guarantee you now, every pastor, man or woman, that is now being exposed for sins of the end, they realize my flesh has the potential to kill my destiny. When you mess up, and when you're a great man or woman of God, you got a huge church, and you mess up, and then you go to church on Sunday, and it's like half full or not full at all, you'd be like, I think my flesh has the potential to kill my destiny and purpose. Yes. Last Sunday, I was walking in my destiny and purpose. I was standing up before 30,000. Now, I get up there, same church, same position, same posture. My destiny and purpose is gone.
Amen.
The Bible said that at the end of that verse 33, it says Jonathan knew that it was determined. Yeah. Whereby? Now Jonathan is saying, oh, you know what? Now I know he's trying to kill David. If he would try to kill me just to kill the spirit, you don't understand. Your flesh will drive your soul crazy to kill the spirit. Yeah. Do you recognize Saul was his father stood up? Now you got to understand where they at. They sitting at. They're not in an open field. They're in a confined room. They may have been at a table. He stood up and threw a javelin. He could have punched him, could have hit him, but he threw a javelin. Yes. That's like me throwing a javelin at one of y'all right here. That's how close it is. Saul's mindset was, okay, you won't bring your spirit to me, I'll kill you. That's why most Christians suffer from depression and anxiety and stress is killing us. And that double-mindedness is just really hurting us as Christians because we don't understand the stress it puts on our soul.
Yes. Right.
So your flesh will get to your soul to just stop your spirit from moving. Your flesh has killing potential. The potential means if you put it in the right scenario, it won't act like it want to kill. It won't try to kill. It will kill.
Yes.
Your destiny and your purpose.
Amen.
Ah. Turn over to the 31st chapter. I'm almost done. 31st chapter. The reason that God has used this scenario is I want you to see something. Who was Saul to Jonathan? He was his father. So ever since Jonathan entered the world, Saul was there by his side, right?
Yes.
Now, what is Saul representation of?
The flesh.
The flesh. Ever since you entered the world, the flesh has been right by your side. So you have to see the closeness. Now, you would have thought after Saul threw a javelin at his son, Jonathan would have said, you know what, Pops? I love you, but we got to part ways. You would think after us then had our flesh throw enough javelins at our soul, we would say, you know what, flesh? I feel you, but we got to part ways.
Yes, yes.
The same way Jonathan didn't leave Saul is the same way we as Christians don't leave our flesh. The very thing that has the potential to kill the destiny and purpose with it of us, we kick it with. We get in an argument, who we rolling with? I'm rolling with my flesh. I ain't rolling with my spirit. That's why most of us, it was funny, Pastor Kelly was preaching down the way yesterday in St. Clair, and it was the funniest thing. I got out the car, and I noticed my whole demeanor within myself changed. Because you understand, when you run the streets, you don't look soft in the hood. If you look soft, everybody see you soft, you're going to get treated as soft.
Right.
So my walk changed a little bit, and I said, Lord, I can't have no pimp walk going into no church. So I kept it a little bit. I was rolling with, and that's an example of rolling with your flesh. Most of us, when we enter a disagreement, who you take with you? Your flesh or your spirit?
Yes.
Who you take with you? Your flesh or your spirit? All right. Chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines, fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan, Abinadab, and Melchishua, Saul's son. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Now, what bothers me about the scripture is it's such a testimony of Christians. The son, Jonathan, the soul, died before the flesh.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Wow. This is the testimony. This is the testimony of most Christians. We are dead men walking.
Amen.
Our soul is dead.
Yes.
We have no victory. Yes. All we have is defeat, and our flesh is living. We still come to church.
Yes.
We still go to work, but we spend years just
dead with
no victory. You know, people who kill themselves and they commit suicide. You know, most Christians want to commit suicide, but they don't want to go to hell. So they say, I ain't killing myself because I don't want to go to hell. But they have every intention, because people who commit suicide say, I just want to release my body. My soul is already dead. My mind, my emotions, everything that I have is killed inside of me. And this is the testimony of most Christians. Our flesh throws javelins at us, and we don't let go of it. So it takes us to the valley of Galboa, and we die. Our soul dies, and our flesh keeps walking.
Yes, yes.
I showed you how selfish your flesh is, how selfish Saul was. Took his sons with him to war and watched them die first.
Oh, yeah.
It's the testimony of most Christians. We walk around dead in our soul.
Yes.
Mind, will, intellect, imaginations, emotions, your whole purpose.
Yes.
And the whole time your spirit is mourning the death of your soul, trying to revive it and doing CPR because you're dead and your flesh is still gone. Most Christians dying in the city. So let's read on. Verse 4. And Saul said unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Then therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon him. Took a sword and fell upon him. Your flesh is suicidal prone. It don't care that it lives or dies as long as the spirit don't live. It's just suicidal prone. That's why, you know, the dude you don't want to fight, I know this is true, but the guy you don't want to fight in the street is the guy that don't have nothing to live for.
Right.
Because he'll do whatever he got to do
right.
to kill you, and don't care if he die in the process.
Yeah.
That's just how your flesh is. Mm-hmm. It will do whatever it has to do to kill your soul, to stop the spirit man in from you from producing destiny and purpose. It don't care if it die with you. That's why your flesh will addict you to stuff that'll kill you. That's why your flesh will let you not be able to control what you put in your mouth, and you die from heart disease and strokes and stuff like that. that. That's why your flesh don't care the situation it puts you in. That's why you do stuff. Ain't no kids in the room. Oh, she's saved and sanctified. That's why you do stuff when you're single and saved. And afterwards, you'd be like, Lord,
right,
protect me for the dumb stuff I just did.
Right.
I'm not speaking from a sanctified place. I'm speaking from an experience. I don't want y'all judging me. From an experience. All right, I'll leave y'all alone. Y'all need to bother. All right. So, verse 4 at the end, therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. Glory, I wish I could go into that. In verse 6, so Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer, all his men that same day died. If you don't disconnect yourself from your flesh,
amen,
you will die. Your purpose will die. Your destiny will die. Everything the Spirit is trying to produce through your life will die. There is nothing like going through hell and getting to heaven and realize I just wasted my time because I didn't accomplish anything God set for my life to accomplish. Nothing. I didn't accomplish nothing that God had set for my life to accomplish because I can't leave my flesh. Sometimes your flesh is people. Sometimes your flesh is situations. Sometimes your flesh is the church. You can't leave, but what do you do when you love your flesh more than you love your destiny? What do you do when you care about pleasing your flesh more than you care about God's purpose being fulfilled in your life? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when you love your flesh more than you love your destiny? What do you do? What do you do when you love adultery more than you love faithfulness? Oh, Lord. What do you do when you love your attitude more than you love temperance? What do you do when you love laziness and slothfulness more than you love being disciplined in God? What do you do? What do you do? Now, this is for, you know, we all to sanctified to admit that we love our flesh more than we love our destiny. What do you do when you love your destiny enough? Glory be to God. What do you do when you love your destiny enough to pursue it, but not enough to get to it? You love your destiny enough to come to church, get licensed and ordained, but you don't love it enough to have the character and integrity to be set up and set apart. What do you do when you love your purpose enough that you name the ministry, but you don't love it enough to apply vision to it? What do you do? When you love your destiny and your purpose enough to put your foot on it and your finger on it and act like you want to walk in it, but you don't love it enough to go through the submission it takes to get to the end of your destiny, what do? You die. In Galboa, that's what we do. We die on the wrong side of our destiny. And I don't say this a lot, my whole purpose in life is to get people to die on the right side of their destiny. I prod you and push you by preaching the word the way I hear it, that will not challenge you but change your life. This is my purpose. This is all I'm sent to do. And whether I'm sent to a small few or to the masses, I'm still sent to do this one thing, to get us to die on the right side of our destiny. Because I don't know about you, but I'm getting to a point where how can I love something that's killing me so fast? How can I love my flesh? It's killing me so fast. I'm almost done. I just want to say this. The main objective of your flesh is to get you to die without having that relationship with the spirit man. That's the main objective of your flesh. That's why we war and we fight.
Yeah.
You realize when life is noisy and messy, you just don't spend a lot of time in the spirit.
That's right.
You spend a lot of time on the phone. You spend a lot of time contemplating and thinking about stuff we have no control over, but it feel good to think about it when you're going through it. We spend so much time interacting with the flesh. That's why God says when it's not what you see, it's what I said. When the beginning of the verse, it said, Saul's anger was kindled. Y'all remember that?
Yes.
So Saul's anger was kindled. That word kindled comes from the Hebrew word that means to shine or to make warm. What your flesh does, if you catch this, it does two things when it gets mad that you follow in your spirit. It's going to show you something and make you feel something.
That's right. Yes.
It's going to show you that everything you and your spirit talking about, you don't even see in front of you.
Right. Yes.
Everything you trying to feel, all that peace you trying to feel, let me make you feel some stress and some pain. That's why we got to be a people that when I connect with my spirit, I start to get the characteristics of my spirit.
Yes.
So it don't matter that my flesh shows me this. It's not what I see. It's what God has said in my life.
Yes.
We don't even fight the flesh no more. Satan, I just want to say this, and this is kind of like your challenge, but it's also kind of like your encouragement. There should come a time, and this is personal inventory you got to take right now, because I need you to ask yourself, is this where I am? There should come a time, glory be to God, that your flesh don't know how to tempt you. Oh, y'all can catch that. Let me put it in a way you can catch. Satan goes to your flesh and says, what works?
That's right.
Yes. What'll
work? He goes to your flesh and he say, hey, flesh, what'll work? Because I need to know what to take back and ask God for permission for to hit him with. So what works? Glory be to God. I want to get to a state in my life that when Satan goes to my flesh and say, what work? I want my flesh to say, I don't know. I ain't talked to him in a while.
Yes.
Oh, y'all don't know. Y'all know how good that is. Y'all not good. I want my flesh to be like, you. I don't know, but we got to come up with something. Because I don't know what worked. I tried some stuff, but it ain't been working lately. So I want my flesh to not have no report to get back to Satan. Some of us are so connected with our flesh, Satan don't even have to go ask your flesh to send reports to heaven. Just send reports. Oh, I know this worked. That boss right there, that coworker right there, that worked.
Right.
Shake their whole life up, send it on down, Satan asked for permission. God said, well, I need them to change. And the only way to get them to get through it and to go through it is to allow you to do it.
Yes.
So I ain't going to let you kill them, but I'm going to let you put a hurting on them. So go ahead. If Satan doesn't have anything that works, he really got nothing to ask for permission for.
Yes.
Can you imagine if Satan goes to your flesh and say, what worked? And your flesh be like, we ain't kicked it in a while.
Right.
We ain't talked in a while. So I really don't know. Satan has to go back and start planning. The whole time he's planning, I got peace.
Yes.
And so that's the Christian that is getting more victory in their life than defeat.
Yes.
It's because now I want to get to a place that everybody be like, I'm coming in, going in a storm, I'm in a storm, or I'm coming out. No, I ain't seen a storm.
Oh my God.
I ain't seen no storm. Y'all can speak that stuff over your life, but my life, I ain't seen a storm in a long time. I seen some drizzles.
Right.
I put up my umbrella and I kept it moving, walked right in the sun. I got to get to that place. Your flesh has killing potential.
Yes, yes.
Don't be like Jonathan. Don't follow your flesh. You follow your flesh long enough, you'll end up in that world. You'll die. Every purpose and destiny in you will die. Separate ourselves. That's why the title of the message was Our Flesh, the Stronghold of Death. Some of us have strongholds that don't have a result of death or destruction in our life. Your flesh is the one stronghold that will kill you in every purpose and destiny in you. So let's go out here and get victory.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. Glory. Father, I just thank you for the word and how it has just affected my life. Lord, I just thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. I want to get to a place where me and my flesh don't talk no more, Lord. It don't know. It don't know my goings. It don't know my comings. Forgive me, Lord, for choosing my flesh. Forgive me for being on the road to give over. But Lord, I thank you that your grace and mercy stopped by this morning to give me a big warning to get off.
Thank you,
that road. So, Father, I pray for restoration. And then I pray for a reconciliation with my spirit. Oh, glory be to God. I need a reconciliation with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Sit us down, Lord. I need us to talk and work this thing out because I need the Holy Spirit in my life to disconnect myself from my flesh. So, Lord, I declare and decree over your people, over myself, that we will start having victory. I want to go through a week without a stone. Glory to God. I don't want no more reports going to hell on my life and what works for me. Glory. So, Lord, we love you, Lord. We praise you. There's nothing I won't do for you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.